the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, insane broadcasting at its finest, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome to the dark side. As always, this is Bob Romanek, the craziest, no good a son of a bitch that you'll ever want to hear on the air. I don't give a damn if you're listening out in Florida, California, Hawaii, and we have listeners. I have listeners all over the country, thanks to the St. Louis Post-Disgrace. Most people won't call. Out of every 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 listeners, maybe one or two or three will call, and that'll be okay because I can get my piece in. If you agree with it, fine. If you don't, fine. But we can all move on. So lines are always open. We are America's voice of freedom, definitely the Patriot. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430. On the east side, 394-1190. And unlike all other radio and TV stations, they all talk the same crap. Did you ever notice that? I'll talk local crap. I'll talk regional crap. I'll talk national crap. But these no good son of a bitches always want to take it. It's all national. It's all national because they want to sound good. And what they say doesn't make them sound good, make them sound bad. It's just information. But they always, always, always want to run with it. So if we've got something that we want to talk about, if it's local, I don't care if it's about the homicide of the attorney from Edwardsville, Randy Gorey. I don't care if it's about the gentleman that's allegedly killed him. I don't care if it's about people that are getting killed in North St. Louis. Whatever the situation is, if you feel, people feel that you have, want the opportunity and have the opportunity to talk about it, we can talk about it. We don't have to have everybody on the same page every day about everything. And as you people noticed with me, we're never, never on the same page every day with anything. We take more local issues than most people because most people won't take the local issues. And it's amazing. It's amazing that it goes that way, but that's the way it's been going, and that's the way it has to be handled. So lines, again, are always open. We are America's voice of freedom, definitely the Patriot. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430. On the east side, 394-1190. I want to talk a little bit, and we're still on the subject, about the gentleman, and I use that term very, very loosely, the 28-year-old man charged with the stabbing death of prominent Edwardsville attorney Randy Gorey, said that he was a student at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. Now, that's the first I had heard about that. I don't know if you people had read about it. He worried about paying his bills, it says. That's what his friends were saying on Monday and Tuesday. He was charged with 10 charges, including first-degree murder, armed robbery, vehicle theft, and unlawful restraint. He's accused of fatally stabbing Gorey, 47, holding two of his minor children captive Saturday night at Gorey Spalding Ranch home on the 4500 block of Mooney Creek Lane, right outside of Edwardsville. And it's amazing. It says suspect in lawyer's killings had money issues, friends say. They're going to make a big to-do about because this man had money issues. So, and they still haven't found out any of the information why he come out to Randy Gorey's house if he knew Randy Gorey. And I'm sure down the road there'll be additional information about what happened there. But I don't think it was just, hey, I'm going to go and rob this guy and try to get some money and try to steal a Rolls Royce. There's got to be a lot more to this story than meets the eye, as there is to a lot of stories. But people just, they'll run with what they have to run with, and then they'll move on. But what really pisses me off on this situation is nobody wants to address Randy Gorey's bad side. Now, everybody, I don't give a damn, me, you, whoever, we always have something bad. We're not 100%. There's no one out there that I know of, that I'm sure that you good people know of, that's 100%, that never, ever, ever does anything wrong. But it's amazing how they want to strap Randy Gorey. And again, I'm sure he was a good family man. I would guarantee he was a great father. He was a good contributor. But at the end of the day, with the millions and billions, $3 billion, I think is what he got as an attorney to help his clients on this asbestos bull crap. Guarantee you, he had more money than the law allowed. And he give $5,000 for this and $2,000 for that and, you know, $10,000 for this. But at the end of the day, I guarantee you, there wasn't a small portion of the money that he made being an attorney that was given back out into the community. Now, 1%, 2%, 3%, people do that all the time. People do that don't have money. And everybody says, oh, what nice people they are. And again, everybody can be nice. Some people can't be as nice as others. But they said they responded to a 911 call at Gordy's home about 9 p.m. last Saturday in his black 2020 Rolls-Royce SUV. One of many of his vehicles in his collection had been stolen along with cash and the minor's cell phone. So that tells me that once this investigation got going, it didn't take much to find out exactly what went on. It said that about 12 hours later on Sunday morning, a search team found Banowitz, that's the gentleman who was alleged to have killed Randy Gorey, laying there dead with the children, I guess, watching what's going on. I don't know for a fact, and I don't think anybody knows right now exactly what went on. But after 12 hours on a Sunday search, the search team found Banowitz in a wooded area a little more than a half mile away from Gorey's home. Now, what the hell would he be doing a half mile away from Gorey's home? Then they located the SUV, which was nearby in a wooded area, a half mile, less, you hear me, people, less than a half mile from the Gorey home. And it says that Gorey was a high profile attorney with the Gorey Law Firm and touting more than $3 billion, not million people, $3 billion in compensation for his clients. And it says that Gorey had offices in Edwardsville, St. Louis, New Orleans, Washington, Los Angeles, New York, and Orlando. He was also founder of the Gorey Realty and Gorey Property Management. Now, it's amazing when you hear this going on and say, hey, what a great family man. But what about your relatives that may have died by accident or by some kind of drama? Your family just as good as his family. Not taking anything away from the Randy Gorey family, but it's amazing. It's amazing how they'll take a story, and if it's somebody that's made some money, not that they're better than anybody, but somebody that has made some money, they want to talk about them, what great people they were. And I'm sure he was a decent guy. But they're going to hit this and continue to hit it to show him out as some kind of somebody that's special. And they tell me that nobody is special unless everybody is special. But they want to come out the last two or three days. And again, I don't want to make light of it because I'm sure he was a good family man. I'm sure he was a good leader of the community in Madison County and all throughout the country probably. But they say that the murder charges have been filed against this Timothy Banowetz, and there's no bond, and I'm sure it's really going to be a bad situation when it's all over. But, you know, front page, top fold, even in today's paper, slain Edwardsville lawyer loves sports and donated to charities. Now, I understand that, and I understand that a lot of people will donate to charities. But here's a guy, front page, top fold, great big letters, slain Edwardsville lawyer, loves sports, donated to charity. Nobody wants to come out and say, well, he wasn't perfect, other than me. Because, see, he wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. Everybody out there listening to me is not perfect. But they always want to make it like it's a real big to-do. And it says that that whenever words come about him, the word charity comes up more often than courtroom. What they're trying to say is Gorey was more of a charity man than he was an attorney, a professional attorney. And that's okay to say that, but it's not, you know, it's not true. It's not true in any instance. Said he was killed Saturday at his rural Edwardsville home. He contributed to causes related to cancer, animal rescue, child welfare, education, high school sports. And I'm sure a lot of people do the same thing. Maybe, just maybe, they don't give quite as much money, but maybe, I say maybe, they don't have quite as much money to give. And I know I'll hear today from people who'll say, that no good son of a bitch romantic's bad rapping everybody, and I'm not. I'm just giving a factual situation where nobody is perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, but at some point in time, the more money I guess you give, the less mistakes people are going to think you make. But, you know, it was really amazing. It says that the Madison County Sheriff's Department found Randy Gorey stabbed to death about 9 p.m. on Saturday at his home at 4586 Mooney Creek Road, northwest of Illinois 159 towards Hamel. Unbelievable. You know, they're going to give the address. Usually they don't give the address of somebody that was involved in some kind of crime, but they want to give his exact address out, and it amazes me that they want to push that far on a situation, and they want to continue to push. Why? I don't know. And I think a few good people after listening to me today, you'll think, what the hell? What the hell is going on to give him special notoriety when at the end of the day, he's laying in a casket somewhere? And I don't say that derogatorily. I think he's just as good or just as bad as anyone walking the face of the earth. I know he's done good for people, but I believe personally, he only did good because he had the opportunity to do it through his law license. Go ahead, Kurt. You're on the dark side.
Bob, it just don't add up with what I'm looking at it. Okay, a couple things. Okay, one, that he must have had a lot of money, to build that million-dollar house and whatever. But here's the thing. One thing, the killing was apparently it was pretty heinous and stabbed him numerous times. That shows supposedly that it's more of a personal killing where it's just not this haphazard, random burglary, which, number one. Number two, if you're going to, go in there, why not? Aren't you going to grab that $350,000 car that he has or SUV and drive off with it? I don't understand how he was only found a half mile or wherever, within the crime scene. It just don't add up, Bob, I'm telling you.
You know, Kurt, I agree with you, and hold on, we'll continue the conversation. I honestly think probably Mr. Gorey was worth 300 to 400 million, you hear me? 300 to 400 million dollars because of all the work he had been involved in. Not that he was a better attorney than anybody. He just got involved in this asbestos and apparently got somebody on his side, and they really busted their ass. And I want to condemn him for that. And I want to say, at that point in time, just because you make a lot of money doesn't make you a good person. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't make you better than everybody else. But having said that, Kurt, and I think you're right, but I don't know, and again, I think we'll have to get to it, and it'll be at some other point in time, how this gentleman, and I use that term very, very, very loosely, Timothy Banowitz, I don't understand how he got to Randy Gorey's house, how he found out about all the money he had, how he found out about everything about Mr. Gorey, and it amazes me. But again, to have this man now, he's charged with murder, robbery charges. They're all filed in this lawyer's killing, and they're saying that the police in Edwardsville and Madison County, I'm sorry, have yet to make a connection between prominent Edwardsville attorney Randy Gorey and the man accused of murdering him. Now, that's what bothers me. They say he faces 3 counts of first-degree murder in the Saturday night death. He faces counts of robbery. Says that he, according to the charges documented, this Banowitz bound the hands of Gorey and 2 minors in the house before using a knife to stab Gorey, killing him. Says Banowitz stole cash and 2 cell phones from the victims before fleeing in the stolen vehicle. But there again, fleeing and 12 hours later in a stolen vehicle, and I'm sure there was gas in that vehicle, to find it less, I say, than a half mile away with him out there, with the alleged perpetrator out there, I don't understand. I think there's got to be more to this story than is meeting the eye right now. There's got to be more to this story than people are reporting. But as always, I think at the end of the day, no matter who the slain person is, it will come out and there'll be additional information. What's your take on that, Kurt?
Well, and also, we haven't heard, has this, the 2 children, are they his children? Are they, is he divorced? They didn't say nothing about his wife and where she was at, or, you know, who came upon the scene and, you know, called 911. I don't know, Bob, it just doesn't seem, you know, not that this guy could be a great guy, like you said, but, you know, what's the deal with the 2 kids and his family, his personal life is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. You know what, Kurt, thank you. Thank you very much for the call, as always. I appreciate everybody that takes the time. Most of the time I don't take calls because I'm too busy rapping and roaring, but I agree. I think there's going to be more to this story. There's got to be some reason this Banowitz came to that house, not knowing if anybody else was home, not knowing what the situation was. So I would assume, but the news media really gets to me, and I don't think much of the news media. It says the Madison County deputy sheriffs, one of the captains, said that in 22 years in law enforcement, he's seen many gruesome crimes. This one rises to the top of the level. Now, to me, that bothers me. Why would this, in 22 years in law enforcement, being a captain with the Madison County Sheriff's Department, why would this be at the top of its level? You know, the man was handcuffed or tied up and then stabbed. So I don't understand. You know, his head wasn't cut off. His arms and legs weren't cut off. He died in an atrocious death. Every death, to me, is atrocious. But it just amazes me that they're going to make this out like it was really, really something that was over and above any kind of crime that he had seen. But it says that the 2 victims that are minors, his sons, their names and ages will not be released. He said, however, the investigators believe the crimes were premeditated and Banowitz acted alone, and that Gorey's last act likely saved the lives of others. Now, I do not for any way, shape, or form believe that. When he had handcuffed Gorey, when he handcuffed Gorey's kids. Now, I do agree that I think the girlfriend, don't know for a fact, we'll try to find out. I think that the girlfriend came up on the scene, and this Banowitz, I guess he didn't really know what was going on. But what bothers me about this whole situation, this gentleman was supposed to be a student in the pharmaceutical department at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy. And for him to come out there, I have to feel, and I believe this to be true, I have to feel, and I would bet on it, that he was on medication, he was all hopped up, he really didn't understand totally what he was doing, because as an ex-police officer, I've been around a long time, I have two master's degrees, I know all about law enforcement, I've been on both sides of the fence, as most people know, but something had to happen where he was high, he was hopped up, he didn't really realize what the hell he was doing, and he went out there and did it anyway. And for him to stab Randy Gorey after he had had him handcuffed, after he had had him tied up, I, for the life of me, don't understand that. I don't understand what his line of thinking was, but I think all you good people out there, if you would understand law enforcement, if you would understand law enforcement at all, you'd understand that something's not right. Something's not right with this Banowitz, and hopefully in the near future, we'll find out what's going on, and afterwards, we'll get to the bottom of it. And I'm sure that this gentleman Banowitz will get a public defender, but at the end of the day, it may take 2, 3, 4 years. At the end of the day, it's going to break bad for him. At the end of the day, it's going to be another tragedy of a poor soul. And when I say poor soul, I mean Randy Gorey, who probably had more money than all of us together. Maybe not quite that much. But at the end of the day, it's going to be that it was a mistake that should not have been made. It was a mistake that was made, even though it shouldn't have been made. And it's a mistake that's going to be made again and again and again. People don't understand that. People do not understand that. But it's a mistake that's going to be made again and again and again. Let's take one more call before break. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the dark side.
Yeah, I think the news media is protecting something. And these kind of crimes, when it's heinous like this and they stab somebody, you know, numerous times, it's a relationship. And I would say they're trying to hide something. Maybe it's a homosexual relationship or something. You know, not trying to bash them or anything, but I'm just... because I'm with you on this. They're hiding something for some reason. Maybe Mr. Gorey don't want that known. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if this turns out to be some kind of relationship between Mr. Gorey and his murderer.
Well, you know what though, Jim? The murderer, the alleged murderer at this point, we have to always use that, the alleged, was 28 years old. Randy Gorey was 47. And I don't know, but you could be right. You could be right. There could be, I'm not saying there is, there could be some homosexual activity involved, but there could not be. But what amazes me is how Mr. Banowitz would go to that house on a Saturday night, go to that house, probably knowing no one else was at home, go to that house maybe to get some money because he needed money. Maybe he was high, maybe he was on narcotics and needed the money, but either way, it's amazing. It's amazing to find out what happens. He could have robbed the guy and moved on and probably not gotten any trouble. I bet you Randy Gorey would have let it go. But for some reason, in my mind, and I believe a lot of other people's mind, that something happened that created this atmosphere that at the end of the day created this death. So we're going to have to wait to see. But Jim, as always, thank you very much for the call. We're going to take a quick break. Lines are always open. We are America's Voice of Freedom. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430. On the east side, 394-1190. And we'll be back right after this break. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM. Insane broadcasting at its finest. Information you'll get nowhere else but here. America's bi-state voice of freedom. Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome, welcome back to the dark side. As always, this is Bob Romanek. You'll get information here that you'll never get anywhere else. You'll get local information. You'll get state information. You'll even get federal information. But you're not going to get pushed by me like you do by the rest of these asswipe, no-count, good-for-nothing bastards, because most people in the St. Louis area want St. Louis news. They want the St. Louis situation. They know what's going on in Washington. They know what's going on in New York. They know what's going on in Los Angeles, and that's fine. But they want local. They want local issues, and people get pissed off when you don't give them, when you don't give them local issues. I want to talk a little bit about it, and it's coming up this year with all the new laws. Minimum wages fuel big pay growth for lower wages. It was 7.25 an hour. It's been unchanged for the last decade at the federal minimum wage level, 7.25 an hour. But as a result, the United States minimum wage is closer now to $12 an hour, most likely the highest in United States history, even after adjusting for inflation. Now, people will talk about it, but from $7.50 an hour to $12 an hour, that's a hell of a raise compensation, and people understand that. They appreciate it. But the problem is, and it's going to piss off people at the restaurants and some of the smaller restaurants and whatever, I don't know if they deserve $12 an hour. Not that they're not good people, not that their families aren't good people, but I don't know if they deserve $12 an hour, but they all want to fight. They all want to fight. Now, they're trying to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in New York, and that may end up happening, but here's what's going to happen. If it's $15 an hour, where do you think that money's coming from? It's not coming from all the owners of the businesses. It's coming from the taxpayers. It's coming from the people who go out and buy the products, because if they're going to raise the salary to $15 an hour from 7.25, it's got to come from somewhere, and these business owners aren't going to take it out of their pocket. They're going to take it out of the consumer's pocket, and everybody knows that. Nobody wants to talk about it. They'll give it a little bit of hell here and there, but it's amazing, isn't it? It says the benefits also bring with it a cautionary note for policymaking. Now they're going to say, hey, let's go up to $15 an hour. Well, everybody's going to start getting $15 an hour. And it'll be a month or two or three or four that all the salaries have went up. And what's going to cause the salaries to go up is the cost of the food product to go up. And that's the major problem. The food product will go up. And who's going to get the bulk of that? It's going to be the poor consumer. And they can say what they want. And I was a poor consumer at one time. That poor consumers try their best, most of them, to do the best they can do. But when they have to pay twice as much for salary just because people are bitching that they deserve more money, you know, that has to be a two or a three or even a four-way street. Everybody has to sacrifice a little bit. Everybody has to suffer a little bit. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to, but everybody has to. That's the problem. That's the problem all throughout our society. Everybody wants someone else. Do you hear me? Everybody wants someone else to suffer the consequences. They don't want to suffer it. They shouldn't have to suffer it. You hear people all the time. No, I shouldn't have to suffer it. Let somebody else suffer. And that's what they do. That's what they do along the way. They make people suffer. Everybody suffers. And at the end of the day, I don't know if anybody, actually benefits from it. I also read that a man was near Belleville was shot by suspected car burglars. And isn't that amazing? You can't even go out to your car. You can't go anywhere anymore without taking or having the opportunity to get shot. Not only get shot, to die, just like Randy Gorey did. You know, nobody expected him to wake up Sunday morning and be dead. Nobody expected that at all. But it happens when you've got somebody worth $200, $300, $400 million and gets killed in the privacy of his home. You know it's a problem for everybody. A lot of people don't want to address it, but they will address it. And here's the situation with Randy Gorey. Front page, top fold, the last two or three days in the paper, also in the St. Louis paper, that here's a man who was loved by everybody. He loved sports. He donated to charities. And again, I would have done the same thing, and I've done the same thing, and I'm sure a lot of you good people have done the same thing. But it's amazing. Once that door opens, it's hard to shut it. It's hard to shut the door once the door opens. But again, a man in Belleville shot by suspected car burglars, and it's amazing. And the only information they have, which is actually good for me because I've bitched about it and bitched about it and bitched about it, was this 35-year-old man. The two suspects were described only as black males with hoodies on. Only, and that was reported by Carolyn Smith, who I once thought was a decent reporter for the Belleville News Democrat, but I found out she's nothing. You know, she's just a shill for the Belleville News Slimocrat, and that's what she is, and that's the way it is. But it's amazing. You know, that's happening in Belleville. Look at all the crap happening up in North St. Louis. Now, they'll say North St. Louis. It could be up there in Spanish Lakes. It could be up there in Normandy. It could be up there in any of those areas in North St. Louis, which are out of the St. Louis jurisdiction. But it's still niggers. It's not the proud blacks. It's niggers, 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 niggers. It's always been niggers. And it's going to continue to be niggers because they don't give a damn. They're going to kill and they're going to keep going. Now, some people will say, well, maybe that needs to be addressed. Yes, it always needs to be addressed. But a lot of people aren't going to address it because they don't want to sit there and get some kind of bad reputation. And it's amazing. It's amazing how we let it go and we continue to let it go and nobody will say or nobody will do anything about it. I also see where they're having now that voice votes, they're restoring the rights to give felons a voice in more states. You know, 21-year-old after a conviction for drug possession, he got his ballot back. This gentleman got his ballot back. They give him the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, give this gentleman his right to vote back. And I understand that. I understand not all crimes, but some crimes, once you pay your dues, you should have your rights in store. Now, sometimes you shouldn't, and it all depends on what the situation is. But here in Kentucky, they're restoring the rights, and they're doing it throughout this country. There's a lot of states restoring the rights for some of these felons. Looking in Illinois, 12 million felons, they're going to have their sentences thrown aside, so they'll be able to vote again. Now, I don't know exactly if that's a good statistic, because there's probably going to be a lot more than 12,000 Illinois voters being able to vote after they've got a conviction thrown out of their cases. But it amazes me how these governors and senators and all of them says it's a long time coming. Everybody should have had the right to vote. Once you do your time, once you do your crime and you get caught and you do your time, I believe it's time to restore everybody's rights. Now, some people will say no, some people will say that's wrong, but now if it's murder, if it's something where you're not ever getting out of jail, I understand that, that's one thing. But for some of these minor violations, back in the day, you could get 5, 10, 15 years for some bull crap drug charges. And it's amazing nobody would ever talk about it, but it happens all the time. And what we have to do, what everybody has to do, is try to work around it. But I would hope that in Florida it says that we restore voting rights of 1.4 million felons, and that's in the hands of the court. It says after nearly two-thirds of Florida voters passed a constitutional amendment in 2018 that would let people that have felonies, let them be able to vote once they're off their record, I think it's probably a good thing. Now, there's going to be people fighting against it. Of course, there's people fighting against things day in and day out, because they believe in one thing and don't believe in another. But I think at the end of the day, if they want to fight this, I think it'll be a good fight. Because I do say this, in the next 30, 40 years, this great United States of America, and I won't live to see it, and a lot of you good people won't live to see it, this great United States of America will be a socialistic country. I don't ever believe it'll be a communistic country, but I believe it will be a socialistic country, because you can see the millennials, you can see the liberals, you can see the younger generation coming up. All they give a damn about is being on their computers. All they give a damn is about getting what they need. They don't care about whether they're capitalist, whether they're socialist. I think they do care not to be communist, but you're going to find at the end of the day there's going to be all this fighting going on, and it's going to be a few years down the road. We're not going to see it in the next 5, 10, 15 years, I do not think. Of course, I could be wrong, but you're going to see a lot of in-house fighting again, and I think the conservatives that are probably dying out, a lot of them will say, hey, let's go ahead, as long as it's not going to be communism, and the government's going to take care of a lot more for future generations. Maybe that's what's needed. And again, there'll be a fight over it, but doesn't mean that it's going to go good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM. Insane broadcasting at its finest, as always. America's bi-state voice of freedom. Renegade Radio. And as always and forever, we are proud, very, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom. Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very, very proud to be the Patriot. As always, welcome back to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show. We never, hardly ever have enough time to get to whoever we want to get to, but it's amazing how many people call and I say, hey, I'll try to talk to you later because I want to talk what I want to talk about, and I'm sure you good people want to talk about what you want to talk about, but it's amazing. It's amazing how sometimes it works good, sometimes it works bad. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the situation over here in St. Louis County, where the Democrats have taken back the leadership positions for the St. Louis County Council, their legislative body, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. That should be at the top of the rung for a lot of the people, especially in the good areas of St. Louis County, not so much St. Louis, not so much the downtown area. But I want to say real quick, I want to talk about the fight for locker room access for transgender students. It ends in Palatine, Illinois. They had a fight for the last 4 years for equal access to locker rooms for transgender students in a north southern a Chicago school district, and ended Tuesday when a new policy allowed them, the transgenders, to have unrestricted access. Unrestricted access, you hear me? It took effect. It went into effect yesterday. It's a battle over the identity. Now they can go in, identified as a female, this male identified as a female. She can have unrestricted access to the girls' locker room. Now this is a male who says he's a female and have unrestricted access to the locker room. And it's amazing. It says a federal lawsuit was filed on the issue, won by two transgender students who claimed discrimination from the school and others from students and parents who opposed the unrestricted policy. Now, again, there's where all the socialism's gonna come in the next 20, 30, 40 years, but you know, we're just gonna have to fight it, gonna have to deal with it, and gonna have to probably accept it when it's all over. They say there's still gonna be some problems with this, but it says these federal guidelines are in line with the federal standards, so if you're a man and want to act like you're a woman, you can go to the woman's dressing room, and if you're a woman, want to act like you're a man, you can go to the man's dressing room. So as always, time to go, so let's continue our journey as long as we can to fight these ass-wipe, no-count, good-for-nothing, rotten bastards, both Democrats, Republicans, men, women, black and white. Let's try to fight so we can at least be even, be on an even keel when all the legal work starts. And as you can tell, it started and it's going to continue to go for the next 10, 20, 30 years. But again, we'll never see it. I'll never see it. But it'll be a socialistic country and probably remain that way for quite some time. As always, let's continue to unite to expose these ass white bastard political parasitical perverted punks that we call politicians. And at the end of the day, don't give a damn Democrat, Republican, man, white, men or women. Let's get them and let's destroy them. Let's destroy them because they're continuing to try to destroy us day in and day out. So let's destroy them. And as always, never, never, never any violence. Let's destroy them at the polls. Let's destroy them politically. Let's destroy them once and for all. Never, never any violence. Politically, always. Politically, of course. Right here. on the dark side.
All the way from Bootlip, I mean the Boot Hill of the Ozarks, Bob Romantic, the grim rapper of radio, with his brand new single, Nigga Nation. The grim rapper of radio will be performing at Snoots and More in St. Louis this weekend.
Word! This is not about the Emancipation Proclamation, but instead the low-life nigga nation. All the greasy, sleazy, violent niggers need immediate incarceration to save our great nation from extermination and annihilation through the perpetration by the nigga nation. All the nigga think about is demonstration and devastation. They got to say nigga this and nigga that, and all the good people think this is no more than defecation, especially when the nigga nation cries and screams reparation. A nigger phrase that means they want something for free, or if not, there will be a nigger congregation who in desperation will have criminal determination and expectation to destroy our great nation in violation of all of our laws. The nigger nation needs to quit selling all of the illegal deadly street medication and stop their impersonations of a porch monkey. This greasy nigger nation must finally get proper socialization and integration into a decent civilization instead of all of their thug intimidation. Why the nigger nation has an infatuation with violence and criminal association, no one knows. But if the nigger nation will act like they belong in our decent civilization, they will then get an invitation to be a respectful citizen instead of participation in all the violent confrontation. The nigger nation then needs to quit all that nasty fornication, popping out all those daddyless babies. Maybe the nigger nation ought to instead think about masturbation and copulation to the decent generation of both proud white and proud black population. The nigger nation will have a graduation from violence and then have a celebration, no longer being a low-life nigga of the nigger nation. If all this is done with proper determination, the nigger nation will then get vindication and a proclamation of dedication to quit being a nigger who wishes devastation on our great nation. But if there's any deviation from this dissertation, there will be ramification and then justification, not to give you a standing ovation or a paid vacation, but the ultimate criminal destination, a lifetime of incarceration. Now it's time for the breakdown. Nigga. And I don't mean Negro. Nigga. I don't mean black man. I mean nigga. Drop the mic, bitch!
This is Bob Romantic, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you've been listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Radical Radio, and we are, as always, proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
The Patriot.
Your First Amendment and All American Station.
A division of Insane Broadcasting.
Renegade Radio.
KQQZ St. Louis.